The religious system that God prescribed for Old Testament Israel taught both his presence with them and their separation from him. Now, that may sound paradoxical, but it can be illustrated by the plan of the tabernacle. You may recall the general structure. There was an outer courtyard into which any Israelite might come to offer sacrifice as long as they were ritually clean. But within that courtyard, there was a smaller place called the holy place, into which only the priests could enter, as they did twice daily to offer the offer incense, and once a week when they changed the bread of the presence on the Sabbath day. But then from within that holy place, there was an entrance to the most holy place, sometimes called the Holy of Holies. And this contained the Ark of the Covenant with its mercy seat upon it, God's special dwelling place. The most holy place was like God's throne room among his people. And a veil woven with cherubim covered its entrance. Exodus 26:33 explains, "The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy." As the cherubim had guarded the way to keep Adam and Eve from re-entering the garden after the fall, these cherubim woven upon the veil symbolically kept people from entering the most holy place. Only the high priest could enter there, and he could only enter on one day a year, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And God was very serious about this restriction, as we learn from Leviticus 16:2. Yahweh said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil," that is the most holy place, "before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat." The Day of Atonement was the high point of Israel's religious calendar. It was the day when one of their own, the high priest, went through that veil to enter into God's special presence on the mercy seat. And the high priest did so with sacrificial blood in order to make atonement for the sins of all Israel. On that day, God's forgiving mercy flowed forth from the mercy seat, but only one Israelite could be in God's presence, in God's place at that time. God was with Israel, but most of Israel was separated from God. Only the priests could enter the holy place, and even they could not pass through the veil of the woven cherubim into the most holy place, the throne room of God. That was the prerogative of only Aaron and those who succeeded him as high priests in Israel. So the average Israelite could worship the Lord at a distance through the mediation of the priesthood, but they could not go through that veil directly into the presence of God. He was with them in his forgiving grace, but also separated from them by the veil. Under David, the tabernacle came to Jerusalem, and under Solomon, it was replaced by the temple. We read of the temple's construction in 2 Chronicles 3. In the description of Solomon's superintendence of the construction of the most holy place in the temple, we read, "And he made the veil of blue, purple, crimson, and fine linen, and wove cherubim into it." And the veil here served the same separating function as it had in the tabernacle. And this was also true of the second temple that was built after Israel's return from Babylon to the rubble that was left of the first temple. And throughout Jesus' life and public ministry, the veil hung within the temple, keeping people from direct access to God. But what was true through Jesus' life changed at Jesus' death. Mark mentions the veil in direct connection with Jesus' death. He writes, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Now, the veil was not some sheer, thin material that you might think of when you think of a modern bridal veil. It was a great, heavy curtain, 60 feet tall. And there are actually two curtains in the temple, one at the entrance to the holy place, and the other, which we've been discussing, at the entrance to the most holy place. And Mark doesn't specify which curtain was torn, but either way, the symbolism is the same, and the symbolism is clear. That the veil was torn from top to bottom shows that it was a work of God, not of man. And through its tearing, God signaled an end to the priestly rituals involving sacrifice and separation. Israel's rejection of her Messiah brought the sacrificial system and the Levitical priesthood to an end. Jesus' death, the final and only effectual sacrifice, opened a new way into God's presence. Now, the author of Hebrews explores the theological richness of this complex of events. Listen to his reflection on the Day of Atonement as we find it in Hebrews 9, 6 through 8. Now, when these things, and he's talking about the different parts of the tabernacle, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, that's the holy place, performing the services. But into the second part, the most holy place, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. What was the Holy Spirit's purpose in restricting access to the most holy place? Well, that indicated that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Involved glorious symbolism, but in itself it was powerless, as the author goes on to say in the next verse. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. The temple-based rituals, including the Day of Atonement, symbolized great things, but they were great things that those rituals could not accomplish. But what was symbolized on the Day of Atonement was realized, was actualized through Jesus' death. We continue reading in Romans 9, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus did not enter that most holy place in some earthly tabernacle or temple, taking with him the blood of bulls and goats as the priesthood had been doing for centuries. No. He entered the true heavenly tabernacle after his death with his blood that really did bring cleansing and forgiveness. He was both the high priest and the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because of Jesus' atoning death on the cross, we have forgiveness and access to God that the Israelites never experienced under the old covenant. Again, Hebrews 10, picking up in verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The tearing of the veil in the temple was, in God's plan, the result of the tearing of the veil of Jesus' flesh in his sacrificial death. And in death, Jesus opened a new and living way by which we have access to God. No longer is there a Levitical priesthood sacrificing in an earthly temple, because Jesus himself was the final sacrifice, and he has become our great high priest. Through faith, we are united to him, and thus we have access to God in any place at any time. We need bring no sacrificial blood, because we are resting in the effectiveness of the blood of Christ offered on our behalf. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Good Friday. It is the day on which Jesus died, and the symbolic was replaced with the actual. The ritual was replaced with the real. You can rejoice in Jesus' death because through it, you have been cleansed, and the way into God's presence has been opened to you, never to be closed again. In Christ, you may have boldness in prayer. In Christ, you may have boldness in worship. In Christ, you may have eternal hope, all because the veil was torn once and for all on Good Friday. But if you are here today as one who has not yet experienced this joy of union with Christ by faith, then this Good Friday could be your best Friday. It can be a day of new beginnings. If you will acknowledge your sin and your inability to overcome your sin in order to reach God in your own power, you see, you simply can't do that. Acknowledge that you need a perfect sacrifice in your place, and then trust that Jesus is that perfect sacrifice for you. As you look to him in faith, trusting in his saving death alone for your reconciliation to God, you too can know the joy of entering into God's loving presence in any place at any time. Jesus has opened a new and living way. It is the way to God that you may enter through faith in his Son. Let us pray.